corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because he's done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag and Underdog Fantasy. BetOnline continues to be the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. With the largest selection of odds on everything from football, the NBA, college basketball, to NHL and UFC, BetOnline is the number one sports betting source for the new year. From touchdowns to three-pointers and hat tricks, BetOnline has you covered on every game, every play, and every win. BetOnline, the game starts here. Want to make some quick cash during the rest of the NFL playoffs? There's still time to embrace your inner underdog. Over the last 4 weeks, we have given 15 selections and have cashed on 13 of them, predicting higher or lower on multiple different player statistics. So we are ready to continue this heater into the conference championship and beyond. So if you've yet to download the Underdog app, do so now and get free cash. Click the link in the description or use promo code CHIEFCONCERNS, that's one word, to claim your free pick plus first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. It's conference championship weekend, so let's continue to keep the good vibes in 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns, your post-game show. I'm Marcus Dash. Right there in the middle is former Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn, and right over there is my brother Tayshia Dash. Gentlemen, ladies, the Chiefs are headed back to the Super Bowl for the fifth time in the last six seasons, JD. We are back, baby.
Three-peat
is underway. The three-peat is underway, baby.
Give me your stats one more time. I want to hear it one more time, okay?
The Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to reach five Super Bowls in six seasons.
Yes, sir. I love hearing it. There we go, baby. Let's go, boys. Yes, sir.
We did it.
Man, I am so excited to hear that. It was incredible just to watch. Look, everybody got the memo about getting into the wheelbarrow. Okay, New York was relentless. They came in, man. This is a glorious time. It's a glorious time just to watch history in the making. See these guys going for this elusive three-peat. It's never been done before in history. And I said, man, this thing has been in the stars. They have been making this thing happen. They didn't blink. They did not blink. And so excited to watch this, man. So excited to watch it. But yeah. Go ahead, Tays. We're going to get into it. Go ahead, Tays.
Just general comments. I guess it's we talked about this numerous times, but we lost this team to ruin our perfect season. So, you know, we made it right by beating them when it really mattered and canceling it all out. I'd say Bills, kudos, awesome opponent, gracious fans. I have a few really good friends who are diehard Bills fans and never gets toxic. It gets toxic more with other fans texting my ass about wanting us to lose more than Bills fans. Bills fans don't complain about cheap calls. They don't talk about rig. They don't talk about any of that stuff. Isn't that funny? The actual teams, fans, opponents don't say the things that other randos love just saying all the time. You know, and I told them, you know, I don't want to let the secret get out, but, you know, maybe the secret to their future success against us could be us winning in the regular season. That way, you know, they're avenging a loss in the playoffs. But every time we play them in the playoffs, we're always coming off a loss against them. So we always have some extra to play for, and it was really our only loss of the season. So it was extra something to play for, you know?
And I think that's what gives it somewhat of the the challenge of it, right? Part of the mystique that brings it in. These two juggernaut of teams, two incredible quarterbacks, right? And hats off to the Bills for playing for a great season that they played. You know, Josh Allen, those guys, man, did a phenomenal job trying to win this game. And it was a ballroom brawl. And we've seen that. But like you said, those fans up there, man, are very gracious about it. And I agree with you. I was up here in Cincinnati last night with my Kansas City hat. And you should have seen all the sneers. Oh, my God, you got to get out of here with that. I said, why? I said, hey, listen, we y'all cousins from the AFC. You know, y'all should be rooting for us to win it all. So I'm like, I wasn't petty when y'all made it to the Super Bowl. I wasn't that petty that I didn't root for you all. I did. I rooted for y'all.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, look, I get it. I get that y'all might be a little upset, a little sour with this, sour grapes. But I do appreciate the Bills fan because they do seem like they get it. And also, too, they benefited from somewhat of questionable calls. And so they kind of live in our world somewhat, right? But, man, look, it was an exciting game from the very beginning to the end. And you knew it was going to be that type of game. You knew it was going to be that type of game.
It's guaranteed.
Absolutely. So you got good coaches, great players, two great organizations. You expected this. But like I said, man, when it comes down to it, the culture of being in these positions, to be able to lock in, not wait, is the deciding factor. And of course, being an Arrowhead gives you that up. It does. It just gives you that advantage of dealing with the crowd and whatnot. I mean, Josh Allen came out. He always looked like a deer in headlights, but he visibly, when he started this game, you could tell he was just kind of out of his mind. I know that feeling where you just like, you're so amped to do things that you can't do things right.
And this is why the regular season just start the victories. Yeah, of course, they're meaningful games. They're only a handful of, you know, two handfuls of games in the regular season. But these leave a mark, right? Like these are the ones that stick with you. When you're down in a game like this, you're not thinking about the regular season game you played against them. Like Josh Allen's not thinking about that. Josh Allen's not thinking, well, we beat him like 2 months ago. You know, we could do this. No, he's not thinking that. He's probably thinking, man, am I going to get eliminated by this team again? And when that doubt enters your mind, I feel like, you know, it's not running through his mind. He's not obsessing over it, but you want that little doubt in there. You want like a little egg. You want a seedling, right? Something of doubt to be in there to be like, man, this again? Because he looks and he sees us on the field. And it's got to bring back PTSD, man, of just watching us win the game and him not either get back on the field, which in the end, that's what happened. But, you know, losing the turnover battle and still winning was – awesome. I thought the turnover battle and who had ball last. So I guess who had ball last trumped the turnover battle in the end.
Yeah. And that's what it was going to be able to boil down to, right? Can you overcome those type of things, right? The turnovers. Can you overcome that? And then this is the difference between, I would say, us and the Ravens. And so Ravens weren't able to overcome it. I mean, they still had a chance and opportunity against this team. That's why I felt like, as far as with the Bills, even though they have a good squad, I think we just matched up well against them. I think we just had an overall better team than they had. And so let's not really say anything bad about them. I'm just talking about how great of a team that we had. And so part of what we seen the very first half was the RPOs being very effective, going to Hollywood Brown, throwing the ball, giving it to Kareem Hunt, trying to get D-Hop, Juju coming in and doing a great job. Xavier Worthy still doing all of his things that he's been doing. Not to mention, you know, how the defense, you know, they was out there playing their tail off. They were, sure. You know, so.
And they didn't have a technical turnover, but that fourth and one stops a turnover.
It is, right.
Field position, right. Everything you get back, the momentum, that is a turnover.
Yeah, that was huge. Momentum swing when you know that you had to get something done. And there were several moments in this game that was like that, where they had to get the first down, going on fourth down.
Oh man, crazy!
We knew guys were just going. They was going to lay everything out on the line. And like I said, you knew it was going to come down to it. But man, just looking like over here too, comment wise with people, my phone would just blew up. It just absolutely just blew up when the Chiefs won. But even before that, people were like, hey, man, what do you think about the Chiefs? And I, man, look, they're going to pull this thing out. I had no concerns about them whatsoever because, if anything, I know those guys will find a way. They are going to find a way. That's part of their pedigree. Sorry, it is. That's part of, like, one of those cultures that you definitely try to, produce. You got to be able to just get it just right. And Andy has that. He has it with those guys. Man, look good, man. Look good.
Yeah, I get more text messages when the Chiefs are losing or lose. That's the, yeah, you have a lot more.
When we win, it goes
mute. It goes radio silent. People, yeah. We have a lot more haters in our life than you do. Obviously, you have a lot more mutual Kansas City fans. We don't. We are, you know, Marks and I are like in our Kansas City red bubble.
Yeah, we got the
outside of that is like everyone just like clawing to get in, like the Walking Dead outside of our little lair, dude. Outside of our little prison that we that's pretty much what it is. And the moment we stick an arm out for too long, we got someone trying to bite on it real fast.
Yeah.
What this game kind of highlighted for me, just talking about, you know, obviously they're three-peat. You know, in most cases, right, it's going to be the first team to potentially do this ever in the NFL, right? And that's just a merger, and like, all year long, we've talked about it, right, JD? We've like, oh, yeah, we're going to three-peat. We're going to three-peat. It's one thing to say it, but, like, for the fact that, like, when we're saying it, and it's like, yeah, it's plausible. We could do it. I mean, the fact that we're saying it so easily to say it, and it's like it's a plausible thing, it's wild because it's just like this has never happened in the NFL. And that's just something that Mahomes, like, kind of get. And obviously, it's a whole team thing, but having 15 back there just gives some sort of an ease and a calmness to, like, knowing that we're going to have him have the ball at the end of the game, no matter what. And that just tells on. It's like this era is just, it's there's MJ era, right? Karl Malone mm-hmm. never won a ring. Patrick Ewing never won a ring. Certain guys in that 90s era didn't win a ring because that was MJ. That was MJ's time. And then you go to tennis, for example, you had Roger Federer, you had Rafa Nadal, you had mm-hmm. Novak Djokovic. There's a lot of other guys in this period, you know, like Andy Murray's a good example of it. He only won like maybe one or two titles, but there's a lot of guys who could have won a lot more than that in that time, but they just came up in the era where you had Rafa, Federer, and Djokovic. And outside of those three, you weren't winning much. Right, Serena Williams era. You weren't winning much. Serena was dominating everything. You weren't really winning much during those times.
Hakeem only won his ring pretty much during, you know, Jordan's little hiatus.
Yeah, exactly. And like, unless Mahomes takes one of those hiatuses, Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, while they are good quarterbacks, it's just going to be tough to find a window or find a year to get one in. Just as long as 15's back there and operating as he was operating today and as he always does in the playoffs, there's not going to be many times where we see somebody else represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Just, and it's crazy to say that, but it just feels that way. As long as 15's back there in Kansas City with us, I just don't see. I see this being the reality every year for teams, and the only way people can rationalize the JD is by saying, oh, officiating, refs, nonsense, because they want to rationalize and not actually say, like, that 15 guy is the best that ever did it.
Well, I think part of the problem, and just kind of in their argument really, is this is a team sport, and so it's just not 15 back there. You know, he has an incredible supporting cast. Same thing if you want to go to the Bills and who they had, right? Boston, Celtics, everybody they had. And I know you talked kind of individual sports, right, where somebody you can't deny the greatness of somebody like, you know, Joker, Serena Williams and those people are obviously in tennis. But like in football, it takes Travis Kelce, it takes an Xavier Worthy, it takes a Joe Tooney and those guys around you in defense, you know, Chris Jones and Nick Bolton and Justin Reed. It takes guys around you and a great coach in Andy Reid. And so when you're doing all those things, you're putting those things together, man, you stew it up into a nice pot, right? And you make that stew, okay? The concoction is what works. And so part of the problem that we've been looking at maybe for the Ravens is, let's say Lamar didn't have everybody he needed. Well, he finally got somebody. Didn't really pan out for him, okay? Same thing with Josh Allen. Josh Allen had good receivers, you know, some of the top ones. They leave, they still come back, they still formidable foes. But with the Chiefs, because we decide to keep the ingredients the same, just, you know, most of the time, it's still going to be a good batch. It's still going to be a good dinner, a good dish, because of the continuity that we have kind of in the organization. So let's say you take out a little bit of paprika, right? Like a Tyreek Hill, if you will, okay? Just use analogy of cooking. I just got finished eating, y'all, so just, you know, forgive me. And then all of a sudden you start adding maybe something else, a little parsley or, you know, some curry to it, just to give it a little bit more spice. But I think it takes just more than that. But Patrick Mahomes, absolutely, just a little bit. Yeah. But Patrick Mahomes is absolutely the chef. He's a chef. He's doing his thing together, right? But it does take all the things and ingredients for it to happen. So
I think we'd have to – a few things would have to happen. We'd either have to shoot ourselves in the foot. We'd have to beat ourselves that game would be one. Two would be one of these guys who are close to Mahomes status would need to take a giant pay cut so the rest of his team can be elevated heavily. Or like a rookie comes in who's just far beyond his years and they can just load up on the roster around them, right? Those are the things. But we've played different versions of those two before, right? We played Purdy's a good example. Purdy was a young, cheap quarterback playing well beyond his mean with a stacked roster around them, a roster you cannot build in like Madden. You can't build that roster. And they have that roster. Still have to play perfect because at the end of the day, quarterback's so important that if your quarterback and our quarterback plays so much better than yours, it overcomes positions 10 out of 11, right? That's the biggest thing. And then we have coaching on top of that, which is ours is better week in, week out. So it's crazy. I also want to say, I think it's awesome that Chiefs are going through two of the most tush-pushy QB sneaky teams out there. And we're like the anti version of that. We can't do it. It's like a superhero versus the villain in the end. Like he has to face his exact opposite version of it. Mm-hmm.
But that's also kind of going to Philly, right? Saquon Barkley sitting there saying, like, I wanted to show that you could still run the football, hit people in the mouth, and still win games. Absolutely. I thought that was a great quote because it's like, yeah. So sometimes when people downplay things that people are doing, especially in this day and age where they're throwing the ball all around 40 or 50 times a game, it's good to hand the ball off to a guy. We got a couple of guys we hand the ball off to. We sit there watching, you know, Kareem Hunt run as hard as he can, you know, going ahead and getting the yards. And I'm so thankful. I'm so glad we was able to utilize him the way that we did because Kareem Hunt was a man that was on a mission. He got hurt. He came back in. Got hurt, came back in. But he was going to be relentless. He wasn't going to let, you know, one little injury or being uncomfortable keep him out of the football game. And so when you get to this point, it is about, man, you just got to toughen it out. This is for all the marbles. We need to understand what those things need to do. What up, Neff? Neff says, Hunt needs to run the ball more. Absolutely. I see somebody else sit there and say he gets better, stronger as the game goes on. He does. We know Wentz as a running back, if you're being effective, if you've been running down their throats, it is hard for them to keep tackling that guy because you still got to come off like I keep reiterating to this. You got to come off and try to make that tackle. And when you do, that's my job as a tight end or a lineman to bury your tail, okay, when you're trying to make that tackle. So not only you have the punishment of the guy running through you, now you got the big guy jumping on your back while you're trying to make the tackle. So that's always hard. That's tough to do. That is always tough to do, man. But Kareem Hunt, man, amazing job tonight. Even, you know, Pacheco and some of the things he was able to do, man, he did a good job tonight too. But this thing is a concerted effort, no doubt about it, like you were talking about, Tage. It does take the coaches and everybody else to put this thing together. And we got one of the best in the business that's ever been in Andy Reid.
Takes a village.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it don't, you know what? And let me say this because I know you was talking about it. It doesn't have to take paying a huge roster on guys. You get your one guys that you need, and I'll say like all the other teams did the same thing that we did. Shoot, you sit there and looked at Justin Herbert and them guys out there. They paid a big salary for Bosa and all those guys kind of on defense. And other guys, they was like, okay, maybe we'll splurge here. Some other guys we won't. But Chiefs just keep doing it, man. They just keep doing it.
Doesn't mean it's going to beat us. It's just that that would be like a big advantage for a team. Like if Mahomes is a 99, you get a quarterback that's a 90, and you takes if he decides, hey, I'm tired of losing Mahomes, I will forego like 60% of my salary and get a huge pay cut for you just to build this damn roster up to beat him.
So let's kind of talk about the game a little bit. We'll get to the running, but it's kind of part of it. But and I appreciate the contribution, Jacob Donnelbauer. Appreciate it, brother. Love seeing them love seeing them continue with the run game, even when it was getting stuffed. Hunt is hungry for that ring. We'd love to see them not run out of shotgun so much and they can hinder the run game. We'll talk a little bit about that. But JD, throughout the season, we talked about how we loved when there were certain times where the Chiefs offense would go into this up-tempo offense. And it's like, why don't we do this all game? And then today, we start out the game up-tempo. That first drive was masterful. Anybody who wanted to fire Matt Nagy or hope he left, well, I don't know. Matt Nagy and Andy Reid concocted a great, great a set of plays there. And to come out of the game, just doing what we did, just rapid fires, going quick, again, getting down there, and then capitalizing with the Kareem Hunt rushing touchdown, which is that's amazing. What did you like about what you saw from the offense today? Because I think this is probably, I think it's the only game where we scored over 29 points this year in this game, which is just wild to me. What did you like about the offense? What was different about this game, the play calling that we haven't really seen all season?
Yeah, Joker beat me to it. More RPOs in today's game than recent memory. No doubt about it. And so what RPOs give you, it gives you options. And so if Pat sees there's too many guys in the box, he's just going to throw right behind the linebackers. So that's part of like what you had to do by threatening them. But that's what RPOs give you. They give you that option. And it was good because we didn't utilize that as much. Because why? Because Rashid Rice has been down. And so some of those things that we used to run in the past with Rashid Rice, we haven't been running this year. Because we hadn't really had a slot guy to do the things that Rashid Rice did. So guess what? Hollywood Brown shows up for that. All right? Juju falls in because he used to be that guy before he left to New England. So it was just something that they seen on film was saying, well, look, they're going to put guys in a box. We can't run the football. We at least got to give you the allure that we're going to run it downhill or we're going to sit there and step back. But no. Once he fit the rim back behind the linebackers, it was wide open. And we know Milano's guys was ready to come downhill anyway. So I think they used it perfectly in doing that, especially if they run a man too. Run man or you run zone in that, that is a zone and a man beater. So that's a good thing about RPOs. Sometimes some of the problem that comes with it is, well, if you do sit back, then you got to make sure you run the football. You got to be, you know, do it effectively. And I will say this. What did help out, not only was it the RPOs, and I wanted to make this point, but Dad got it, our offensive line blocked their tails off the very first couple of series. They did. When I'm talking about rooting guys out, kick blocks, you know, a little bit of that power, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, Juwan Tate, all those guys were moving bodies. They were moving bodies. They were being maulers. If you go back, just watch the first couple of series. You watch those guys go in and handle that defensive line. It was completely different. It was the best I've seen the offensive line play, especially at the very first of it. They had a little lull at some points where they kind of went back. But at the very beginning, these guys came out for blood, man. They were bullies. That's exactly what they needed them to be. That was one of my points I needed to do, man. But I think that was the reason. It was the RPOs, and the offensive line did a much better job blocking up front. I said the game was going to be one in the trenches, man. The game was going to be one in the trenches. So,
and this is with a left guard playing left tackle.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Which makes our weakest link now a left guard. But, you know, I'd rather have our weakest link be our left guard than our left tackle. And so would our team also. So they obviously agree with the same thing. RPO, though, the reason why, you know, we haven't, like you said, had a lot all year, and that led to a fumble, though, too. So the lack of maybe doing it as much with repetition led to a little miscommunication with the handoff to Pacheco. That's how he fumbled it, right? RPO.
Yeah. Well, that was, I don't know. I don't think it was RPO on that one.
It wasn't?
To me, no, it looked like more so like he was going to do like an option or something. Because he kind of put in his bread basket like it was zone, like a zone read in a sense. Because with that action back there, there's no way he would have been able to pass the football that quick. Because somebody would have been down the lineman would have already been up the field with that action. So I don't know if he was that play in itself. I watched it. I'm like, what are we doing? Is he trying to option this and then throw to the
It looks to be one of those like ones where Patrick does the RPO, takes a step, and then does a little sidearm, like quick whip.
Yeah, to the like a screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that might have been different, but that without a doubt, man, was that transition. I don't know if it was Pat, I don't know if it was Pacheco, but it looked a little weird to me. Because I'm just like, is Pat supposed to get the ball on this one? But I just think the action from the way it came from the side didn't seem like it was gonna be fast enough for like an RPO kind of read. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mahomes was already moving, it looked like. He wasn't.
Yeah, he was moving. Yeah, just
he wasn't pulling, he was moving with the pull almost. That's probably that's where it hit the body almost on the way out.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So obviously for the most part, play calling was beautiful. The one which someone mentioned, which I want to talk about a little bit, towards the end of the game, when we should have been trying to milk the clock. I thought we were gonna milk the clock once we got down there. Is it worth running out of bounds? There's a few things there. We kind of got pass happy towards on that drive where we end up scoring the field goal, the go-ahead field goal to, you know, make it 32-29. But, like, we just abandoned the run game on that drive. And I said, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Pat,
I mean, it was crazy. I don't know, were we going for the kill there, JD, with the touchdown? Or what? I mean, to abandon the run there on that like, last sequence there on that drive, it's like, oh, man, what's going on? We're going back to our old bad habits.
You know what, man? Like I said, sometimes you become victim of your own success. And so I know they're very confident in the passing game that it's almost like a run to them. And so when we had like the third and fourth down, we weren't able to get it. That might have backed them up a little bit on some running on some of the things. So for them, they just like, hey, look, leave it in Pat's hand as much as possible. You'd rather give it to him and get the ball out to somebody like immediately right now. He's going to make the best decisions out of everybody. We don't want everybody, you know, jumping around, doing anything like that. If anything, you make sure you put it on Pat. That's one I could think of, man, because we become pass happy. That's who we are. You know, we can get mad at we've been like this for the past how many years, 3 or 4, you know, and they're going to do what they want to do because they feel like it's okay to them. A pass by Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure in their mind feels like a handoff almost to like Pacheco or Kareem Hunt. That they just believe in it that much. And why not? They proving all wrong. They proving us wrong. So why not do it?
It's because they're so successful with it. I mean, look at that last final drive. Yeah. We had two pass plays that converted to end the game. Well, the Pacheco one really should have ended the game. When he went out of bounds there, I was like, dude. And he was pretty mad. He thought he slid before he went out of bounds.
I thought he did too.
I did too, yeah.
I think his foot may have touched before he, like on the way to the slide, probably. I think that's what happened. But if that happens, even if we don't convert after that, you make them blow their timeouts, they get the ball with like 30 seconds left in that game. So, I mean, it probably would have been over regardless, but then we are in a position again to have to waste more time. And then, you know, that P. Ryan catch, which is beautiful.
Amazing draw. That was an amazing play right there.
Oh, yeah. With P. Ryan, you know, he's and Johnny on the spot. But Mike Brennan said it right here. Said, been passing to kill games all the way back when Henny hit Hill to kill Cleveland. Yeah. Yep.
I was talking to Mark. I was like, we need to call that play to get that third and short to win the game. Just call it.
Yeah. So, look, I said it, man. They're going to continue to run their stuff. Okay. And like you said, they've been successful with it. So, the practical thing to do, obviously hand the ball off. That's the practical thing to do. The Chiefs, what they want to do, what's the Chiefs' practical thing to do? We're going to pass it. We got Patrick Mahomes. We got one of the best in the business ever. Put it in his hands. Let him deal with it.
So talking about Xavier Worthy, again, we over the last few weeks, we've talked about his growth. And, I mean, we've forgotten who with a veteran DeAndre Hopkins, we've pretty much forgotten all about DeAndre Hopkins because Xavier Worthy's become the guy. And it's not – last week we saw him high point a ball. This week, and I know people all of a sudden forget that Ty goes to receiver nowadays. I don't understand why people on the internet just get mad and get crazy about Ty goes to receiver. But that play where he pins the ball, where clear intercept, it looked like it was about to be an interception. But Worthy comes in with a right hand, a right grip to gets in there to pin it against his chest, and which, you know, grown man strength there, Xavier Worthy. But yeah. That was a huge play for us because I thought that was a pick, and then all of a sudden, you know, Worthy gets his hand, gets his mitt on the ball, brings it in, pitches it to his chest. Just overall, great game by him. The schemes to get him open in the middle of the field, the drag routes. I mean, this stuff, we're seeing a little bit what we did with Rashee Rice with him a little bit by getting him involved in the middle of the field type stuff that we were seeing with Rashee Rice before he got hurt at the beginning of the season this year. Just utilizing him in every facet of the game, whereas a lot of people said wrote him off to be a gadget player. It's like, well, you've been watching football over the last 4 weeks. He's not a gadget player at all. He's legit. And just talking about his growth and what we saw over this game today in the biggest game of his career, in the college football semifinals last year, this now AFC championship game, Mahomes versus Allen. What did you guys make of Xavier Worthy? What have you just overall, just his growth and each week just seeing him mature and mature and mature.
Man, you love to see a guy turn into what you thought he was going to be. And as long as he keeps ascending, getting better and growing, he's going to be a star in this league. And what we're able to do is we're able to utilize all his talents to the best of our ability. We've seen things coming from him that I didn't even know he had. Like him being able to go up and just go get balls, I'm like, man, he has no fear going up and challenging. I think it's probably one of the things, the most shocking thing is sometimes as rookies, you get a little hesitant on some of those balls. Sometimes you try to knock it down. Sometimes guys don't even go up and try to go get it. Xavier Worthy feels like the ball is close to him. He's going to have a chance and opportunity to make the play. And that, to me, is a signal of greatness. It really is. Because he wants the ball in his hand. So now, hey, man, you ain't a rookie anymore. You got enough games under your belt. You got guys who've been talking to you. You've been growing and getting better each and every week. And the greatest thing for a guy to have is confidence. And he's playing with confidence. So you're out there playing with confidence like he is, man. It's hard to stop a guy like him. And I love it because he plays faster. He's a fast guy. But because he's young, he might be a little cautious in his speed. Now he's just playing fast. He's just playing ball. He's juking moves and stuff like that. Money, I was like, okay, look at Xavier. He's just doing his thing. He's trying to make plays. He's trying to get guys and make them miss. So I love it because he's comfortable where he is in his own skin. I love it.
I think it's really cool to watch Xavier's growth this year because he went through a stretch that was pretty tough. We had some early injuries and maybe not in the building, but I know fans and even us, we were guilty of it a couple times. We wanted more from him, like, instantly. We're like, all right, time to step up, Rook. Like, Rashee Rice went down. Guys went down. It's your turn. Your first-round pick. We traded up for you. Yeah, we want it. Give it to us. And I really respect and admire the Chiefs coaching again for not just putting him in that position and putting him there to setting up for failure. Because I think it could have gone bad if we would have just forced it to him and he lost confidence. It could have played with him. But they kept at it and kind of put him on like almost on a regimen to get him where he is right now. And I think he's taken so much growth from the many times he had one foot in and he couldn't get, you know, he only one foot and he couldn't get the long catch down. A lot of almost plays where some were, might've been Pat's fall and bad throws, miscues, just, they weren't on the same page, but he's grown so much. And I wanted him to be our Devontae Smith, but it's like, man, like at this point, he might even be more versatile. I mean, he's had how many games with at least like 10 plus yards rushing in a game off a couple, one or two carries, one, two, three, four, five, six this year, off of like one or two carries a game. He's a star in the making, and to have him and Rashee Rice, two young guys, It's really fun. It's great to watch.
But I think that's why we're so heavy on him, is because not just his speed, but also too because the offense was really tailored to what he does really well. And for them to see that, like, man, this guy can do reverses, you know, hand the ball off, quick little slants, maybe throw some balls up to him. They were able to see all those things in him. And it takes that. But somebody said this up here, and I do agree with it. It took a veteran like D-Hop to come here to help unlock that. Because at the very beginning, and I'm going to tell you this, just from playing, when you do have success, you got to start believing it. But it does take vets to help you out to get to that place too. Okay? So sometimes you question how good you are when you're playing guys. You got to do all those different things. And it takes vets around like, hey, man, like, look, just do it this way. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. You know, because it does take it. But D-Hop, without a doubt, has helped him out tremendously. And also, too, he has been there eating everything up. He's been trying to, you know, give me more. What else do I need to do? What do you think about this? And D-Hop, he's wearing me out. But he says, I see a lot of him, a lot of me in him. And so for D-Hop, he sees his greatness. He sees what he can develop. And he's like, man, this is the next class of receivers. That's what I want to do. So D-Hop.
And Hollywood's return.
And Hollywood's return as well.
His three best games have been since Hollywood's come back, actually. Three out of his four best games. Since Hollywood's been back, 7 for 65 in a touchdown, 8 for 79 in a touchdown. And then today, 6 for 85 in a touchdown, not including about 36 rushing yards in those games total. So, I mean, it's and that just shows you, too, because, you know, a part of him was thinking like, oh, man, I'm not playing like a first round pick. They're bringing D-Hop in now. Like when Hollywood comes back, I'm just going to take a seat. But they actually put more on him when those guys when everyone was there. He's gotten more. And to him, he's like, damn, dude, these guys are legit. Like that's a legit threat in the NFL established. And that's like a borderline or, yes, Hall of Fame receiver. And I'm the guy, like, they're running the offense through me. Like, it's not about I'm only getting this opportunity because everyone's gone. I'm getting this opportunity because I've earned it. And I'm like, I'm that guy. Absolutely. Right?
But I'm sure they're reinforcing how good he is. Like, you can play in here. You can play right here with D-Hop and Hollywood. Yeah, absolutely. This ball's going to you, Xavier. Huh? What? I got D-Hop, Juju, and Hollywood? Yeah. We are giving the ball to you, though. Why? Because we believe you can do it.
Yeah.
And so when a coach has confidence in you, man, that it speaks volumes on more so than anything else you could possibly do out there is when you have belief in the players around you, the coaches around you, and you're sitting there saying, like you said, run some of the offense through you. We're giving you looks. We're giving you shots because we know you can do it. Okay? We're dialing your number up. So – yeah, man, it's so important for a young guy coming into the NFL about how you fit and how good can you be. And he's been able to show that. I remember at the first of the season when he kind of got hurt, a little banged up a little bit, and they were like, hey, man, you ain't got time to be hurt. Get up and get back in there. We ain't doing this. You ain't at Texas. This ain't college. Get up. Get back in there, okay? Do it all over again. So sometimes it takes that. You know, it's like, you know, when your mom was first walking and you get down, you fall down, now get up. You can walk. Come on. Come on. Come to me. You got it. And now all of a sudden, the sucker's running. Like Xavier Worthy's running now. I love seeing it.
It's awesome.
It kind of – his great game kind of highlights kind of a theme, like an underlying theme within this game. Xavier Worthy,
Elam getting beat.
Well, I'm gonna get to that, but I'm gonna connect the dots to that. But Xavier Worthy, we traded from our pick to the Bills spot to draft Xavier Worthy. Bills trade back. They get Keon Coleman. So there you go. There's one example of that. So thank you, Bills, for Xavier Worthy. Then obviously Patrick Mahomes, the big trade that we traded up with the Bills to get Patrick Mahomes. Thanks again, Bills. And then a couple of years ago, we traded ahead of the Bills to draft Trent McDuffie.
Yep.
We leapfrogged the Bills to draft Trent McDuffie, and they end up drafting Kadir Elam, who was a big part of our offensive strategy today. We looked for number five all game long and targeted the heck out of him, whether it was D-Hop on him, whether it was Juju on him, whether it was Hollywood on him, whether it was Xavier Worthy on him. We were going at Kadir Elam. So the Bills have been helping us along the way. So
he was one of the best players on our team. He was like our version of Mark Andrews this game.
So yeah, I thought that was a nice interesting thing. Oh, and also too, D-Hop.
Nothing worse than Romo and Nance were slaughtering that poor kid. I felt bad. I was like, man, I feel bad, but throw it at him again. It was like, because they were like, man, they were like circling him and doing the Madden pow. They were doing all that. I was like, man, they are between Mahomes and Romo.
Wink, wink. Yeah, here you
go. Like bullying, man. They should make a bullying PSA after this.
Jeez.
But kudos to Juju. I know a lot of people have said Juju was washed and done. Juju, while he didn't look like a burner, he hasn't really been a burner his entire career. But he looked fantastic tonight. I mean, catching the balls you're supposed to get and getting what, two catches for 60 something yards tonight. I mean, hey, we haven't seen him do anything since that Saints game, but came out tonight and dominated when he was called upon. And I think that's
his legs up for the past couple months after that game.
Well, his hammy's been hurt since that game.
Yeah.
Well, I think the false narrative is that you need just your number one receiver to do it all, and what the Chiefs always show is Patrick facilitates to 7-8 guys a game. That's what he does. And any given week, it could be any guy that beats you. And so this week, Juju got some looks, did a great job getting open, catching the football. We knew that Juju was a good receiver. That's why we brought him here. We brought him back. We go back to just a few years ago, he caught 70-some balls, almost 80 balls in the year. So, and we won the Super Bowl. So for that, Juju brings a lot more to the table in far as like just catching the football. He does a great job in blocking. He understands where to be on the field. That is a savvy vet that you need, especially in a room with young guys. That was another reason we brought him back. Him and D-Hop, having those guys in there are vital to our success, especially for the young guys. We would talk about Rashid Rice and Xavier Worthy and those guys, right? What does it do for a guy like Remigio to be in the room with those guys? I mean,
100%.
Come on, man. I think we always look for the number one receivers, Davante Adams and, Justin Jefferson. And okay, well, we got four or five guys hit you over the head, right? And two great tight ends. So that's what they do best. Pat gets the ball to the guys who's open. Guys is going to beat you.
And in the right spots.
In the right spots.
Yeah, which is why, to answer that Mike Brennan comment about the few podcasts asking why Juju was still on the roster, he was brought in because we had guys with a lot of talent, the new flashy names were killing it in camp, who had 2,000 yards receiving in college like 4 years ago. They're not in the right spots. So I don't care how talented you are. If you aren't where Pat wants you to be, then you're not gonna get a ball. So Juju's a guy, maybe not as much as Juice. And yeah, he was probably about, running as fast as like Jalen Hurts was on one leg today. But he's in the right spots. Right. And that's all that matters. You're in the right spot, you can catch a 31-yarder in the playoffs.
Well, it goes back to also, too, Mecole Hardman. He comes in, gets hurt last year to come and wins the Super Bowl for us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's the hero. Well, that's how Andy and those guys – decide how they want to run the offense.
Yep.
So, like I said, we don't have to go through the whole typical number one receiver and all that. I mean, Rashee Rice was catching slants all year. We said, oh, man, Rashee Rice is great. Yeah, but he's only catching balls 5 yards and then getting yak yards after. It's not like he's burning them deep for like 40 or 60. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
So we got to get past like what we think the Chiefs should be, because you look at other teams and You know, they ain't won as many as we have, so maybe they need to be, you know, doing what we do, right? Instead of going, oh, George Pickens, what? We should have George Pickens. Well, George, how many championships George Pickens won? And we've seen him be a crybaby up here in Pittsburgh the entire time.
He's going to be competing for MMA championships in about 2 years if he keeps it up.
Right. So that's why I look at it. You look for the right guys for the right position, right spots, for the right offense. That's the way it works. So I think that's the formula, man. But find the right guys who are selfless. You got to find those guys. Those are the ones that fits in your locker room. Those are the ones that fit, that wins championships for you. You know, seriously.
That's Casey why I'm sorry. In.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Casey the Pick's in, right spot beats speed in the wrong place. That just sums up Kelsey's last like five seasons right there.
Yeah.
That's how Kelsey stayed at the level he stayed. It's not because of his speed. It's not because of his waning elusiveness. It's because he's in the right spot, and he knows exactly where to be, and he knows exactly where Pat needs him and wants him to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were going to say something before you and Tasia kind of
did the dance?
Yeah, did a little dance. Yeah,
I was going to say is that's why you see James Harden go places he doesn't win, because he's a one-man show, and he's going to make sure of that. So,
Tejan, I know that very well, and being on the Sixers for that 1 year.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was good. We had the Harden sickness.
So, Jacob Dunbar, I appreciate the contribution, brother. This is another person I wanted to get to tonight. D Hop, we kind of mentioned him, but he says, "I bet we see D Hop show up big in New Orleans." I hope so. But D Hop spoke after the game and just talked about how lucky he is the Chiefs gave him a shot. But 12 years in the league. Four teams, five-time Super Bowl or five-time Pro Bowler, and it's the first time he'll be going to the Super Bowl, man. And like, this is one thing that like you talk about him. Tejas said potential Hall of Famer. You talk about Hall of Fame stats, what he's put up. He doesn't have that ring to go with it to finalize that resume. Now he's going to potentially get it in a few weeks. And you know, I think the guy like that who's been so good for so long. Never made it this far in his playoffs ever. But the fact he's going to the Super Bowl his first year in Kansas City, honestly, you know, might in his mind, I probably should have come here 2-3 years ago when I want to make that initial move out of Arizona. But nonetheless, he's doing it now. I think that's another guy to give a shout out to. Juju played well today, but D Hop, there you go, man. Come to Kansas City, go get a ring, man.
I mean, only two targets, one catch and 11 yards. He's contributing in an AFC championship to get his team to the Super Bowl. Is he the number one receiver? No, but let's be honest. A guy at his age who tore his MCL pretty much at the beginning of the season, if a team is making him their number one, they're not in the AFC championship, okay? So at this point in your career with where your knees are at, just contribute. And if you can contribute to a team that's going all the way, then he wouldn't trade that for catching another 1,000-yard season right now.
Well, I think the value goes in beyond just his catches, right? We see that. And I think it bears it out when you have a guy like wherever those guys around him starting to benefit because of his teaching, because of his mentorship, like Jake says, right? Those things are important. And so it has quickened up Worthy's growth exponentially. And we're seeing the fruits of it. So, and when Hollywood was hurt, and it was only D-Hop was catching footballs then. Now he don't have to do it all the time, right? But that's why I said it was important to get a guy like this here in the locker room, especially in that position, in that room itself, that was going to be able to help out these young receivers. So, you know, this is going to be something that we'll see the interest come in later on, right? I mean, yeah. You see it now, but he's more than just the value and just catching footballs and just being out there, man. It runs through the entire team.
I mean, both him and Hollywood have had pretty rough years in terms of catching the injury bug and just, you know, being traded midseason for D-Hop and then, you know, catching one ball. I'm sure he wants to catch more than that, but they don't regret a thing right now. They are right where they want to be, and they're right where they've always wanted to be. And that best-case scenario, and you know this, JD, that best-case scenario when you as a player sign a contract with the team, right? Mm-hmm. And you join a team, the best case scenario in your head about what you want to do. And when you sit down with the coaches and the GM and you're like, you know, let's bring you in here and let's win some ball games and go to a championship. All those great things you say guys that come here live through that. It actually comes to fruition from them. Right away it comes to fruition for Juju. It happened with him. That's why when we came and knocking again, he was like, when do I start? I'll take it. Whatever it is, I'll take it. That's why it's like these guys get that. The Drew Tranquils of the world didn't think twice about accepting less money. Mm-hmm. Because when you as a player get to fulfill that dream that you have the moment that pen touches the dotted line, but everything you want to accomplish with this team, and it happens, that's accomplishment. And so fast, too. It's not like these guys are playing 6 years here and grinding to get there. It's like it's instantaneous. You're signing home. We said this years ago. When you sign with the Kansas City Chiefs, you're playing for the right to contribute in an AFC championship to get into the playoffs or get into the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the jackpot. That's what you've done. And so you know that. He's like, man, I'm here. I'm going to legitimately go for a Super Bowl, get in the ring. It's not just fluff. It's not like, hey, we might get there with you all. Yeah, we're going to get there. We need you here. No, we know over the time, the proof is in the pudding, that this team has been the best in the past 5 years. Seriously. And so who else is contending with them? Where else are you going to go that you're going to get this type of resume? You're not. So this is it's a no-brainer. And so that's why I said that, you know, some of the guys have buyer remorse because they wanted the money. Tyreek, Snead, they get it. They get it. When you go other places, like Tyreek said, he said, man, I just, when guys show up at work and they don't want it, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
You don't think Tyreek go back in time, go to Time Machine, go to DeLorean, and take like $5 million less a year to still be here? Come on. Come on. I don't know if he'll ever admit it. He'll probably admit it like 10, 15 years from now when it doesn't matter anymore and he's not insulting his GM down the office from him. But he would. He would.
Yeah.
I think in a way he kind of did that this year by posting photos of him in Chiefs uniforms all throughout the season. And then when the season's over, he says, I don't want to be here anymore. I think he kind of did say that, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The entire time. The entire time. And how would you feel as an organization? Like, man, is this dude still in love with his old team? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So if you're in a relationship with your gal and she keeps talking about her old boyfriend, there's some problems there. You know, all of a sudden there's pictures and she's reminiscing like, hey, well, you know, JD used to do this to me and stuff like that. See, I was always at tweet when they were. But no, man.
On Instagram, watch him take yachts everywhere.
Huh? Yes.
You would rather be with them, would you? No. No, I'm happy where I am. I mean, it's like Colin Saunders said about an hour ago. He goes, you all got to understand, for guys like myself, Cheetah, Willie Gay, and Snead, and others that have moved on from the Chiefs, still want to see them do good because at the end of the day, this shit is history we are witnessing, and we are part of that. So, yes, whenever I ain't in it, it's KC. Right. You don't have a lot of people saying that about their former teams. That's not normal. That's not normal to have like a fraternity of former Chiefs who live vicariously through their old teammates. Yeah, they chase money. Good for them, right? They got theirs. I think Tyreek's is a little different because it's not like he was, you know, chasing like a bag that was much larger than his old one. We were giving him close to that money. So I don't, you know, that his is probably a little burns more than theirs. Because they all chase the highest bid, and they're not getting 120 mil from a team, right? Those guys are trying to chase their money while they can. So
yeah, true. Go get it.
Yeah, 100%. And I told you, I think it burns a little more for Cheetah because he's like, man, I could have had basically my same lifestyle lead right now. Like, I wouldn't notice a difference between making 25 and 28 right now, and plus the rings, and plus the all the commercials I could be doing with Mahomes and Jones and Creed Humphrey sitting at a desk with a Casey Wolf eating Doritos. Like, I couldn't be doing that with them right now. I wouldn't be doing 10 more commercials on TV right now instead of doing the local Miami dealership.
Yeah.
Come on down to Miami Ford. Come on down to Miami Ford.
Run fast. Be as fast as a cheetah. You know, you gotta run like.
I'm the cheetah. You better run faster than one to come down for one of these deals. Let's get the day.
It's almost like you wrote one of those before.
There you go, man.
So moving over to the other side of the ball, I thought for the most part, I thought first half, I thought defense played really well. Second half, it kind of was reminiscent of the Houston Texans first drive in the second half when they came out and just pounded the ball, like 18 plays, 18 carries to Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon takes them all the way down the field. They score on that drive. Very similar in this first drive for the second half for Buffalo, where they fed Cook. I mean, Cook had a couple of big plays within that, but Cook kind of just dominated that first drive coming out of the half for them. And that's where I was like, okay, that's kind of scary. Now they're kind of committing to the run. And for the most part, we kind of really had no answers for the run game in the second half. They went away from it again later on in the game. But that's – I'm curious how you thought we played against the run today. But that, for me, as we prepare for our Eagles shows, that's something I'm going to be thinking about over the next 2 weeks, JD, because – this is a very different Eagles running back than they had two years ago when they had Miles Sanders. This is a different animal back there.
Hey, man, a whole different animal. Gracious, man, I did not see that coming. I thought Philly was going to win for sure, but I didn't know they was going to do that. I think we played, somewhat decent. You know, Cook was able to get skinny in the hole a few times and get up through it, right? And so I think he did a decent job, man. I mean, he averaged 6.5 a carry, 13 carries for 85 yards is what he ended up with. But you won on this bet on here. Josh Allen had 11 carries for 39 yards. That was a difference maker of stopping him. Okay.
Yeah.
So we could give up a little bit for Cook. Josh Allen's the one that can't beat us. And so I didn't really have too much of an issue and a problem with that. I think we did a decent job. Kind of keeping under wraps, but I told you that's the one we got to keep under wraps for sure was Josh Allen. You can't let him start getting out on you and start running, and they were just putting hats and stuff on him. But it's going to be a different game plan with Saquon Barkley. We know that. So we'll concentrate on bottling some of the things up that they do. Me and Marcus Thomas was talking about, Marcus wanted to see them throw some, get him out leverage the defense, and he did that today, Saquon. I'm talking about, and took it to the house. I'm just like, wow.
Saquon Barkley or Saquon Cook?
Saquon Barkley. but Cook did. I mean, as far as like what he did
against us at one point,
huh?
So he looked like Saquon against us.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, I mean,
3 for 49 catching. So he had 16 touches for 134 yards. I mean,
yeah, he's good. But look, Cook, he's a good player, man.
He's a good player. He's a really good player. I mean, what's weird is that this isn't that uncharacteristic. I had Cook in a lot of my – I bought Cook hard in fantasy this year. I had him like 3 or 4 of my leagues, right? I noticed this a lot throughout the season watching them. They would just go away from him they're big time Johnson fans. I mean, as good as Cook played – he had 16 touches. Ty Johnson had 7. That shouldn't be happening. Not when he's turning out 7 touches for 19 yards. I mean, one of your guys has it. One just looks okay. You go with the guy who has it. But like you said, I think the biggest anti-Cook was this obsession. And I said this is the reason why I wanted to take that Allen bet. This is obsession of we're going to make sure Allen gets these crucial 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, 3rd and shorts, and 4th and shorts. Yeah. To the detriment of Buffalo, I think I looked it up. Cook had 1 carry on, I think, 3rd and 4th and 1. And he was 1 for 1 getting the touchdown on that.
Yeah.
Allen was 3 of 7 on 3rd and 4th of 3 and short when he ran it.
Wow.
He was 3 of 7. 33% of their 3rd and shorts failed, or a good chunk of their third and shorts failed on Allen's legs. 33% of their 3rd downs, period. They were 5 of 14, so they had 9 misses. 3 of those 9 were on his legs on third and short. They missed 2 fourth down and 1 shorts, and he was the one on that stuff. So it was just crazy that they just weren't doing it. They weren't giving him the ball on a 3rd and 4th and – and short, and he was just guaranteed 5 or 6 yards every time. Even when they look at we were stuffing him, he'd still pull out like 5 or 6, like 4 to 6 yards on those. It's crazy.
Yeah. I just think, man, that you know, Buffalo was going to put Josh Allen was going to put Buffalo on the on their back. That's what they wanted. That's what they were going to do. When it came tight into the game, and he's been doing it all year, you know, getting the fourth down, third downs. He's been making them. He's been, you know, converting those. So why go away from it? But like you said, kind of to their detriment, our defense just did a great job of stuffing it. You know, they did a great film, you know, recognition to know that he runs to the left. They was right there for him. So they did a great job, amazing job of stopping him, Josh Allen, because he was a factor. He was a factor. So, yeah, Cook, go off. Absolutely. But this, you know, 2 weeks, different animal altogether. And we're going to be ready for it. We're going to be ready for it.
Yeah. So, it's good practice, though, playing against this team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, first team to lose the turnover differential battle in the playoffs and win this year.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting. All the playoff games were the only game where the team lost the turnover differential and won. Which that's another thing too. So we start out the game, which I thought was, you know, I thought it was going to be a potential blowout where Josh Allen throws that pass, almost gets picked off by Cook on the very next play, throws that pass again. Nazi has a chance at the ball. They have pass off Nazi's hands. Brian Cook almost gets the ball again. No interceptions. And then they had 4 fumbles in that game. All recovered by the offense. They recovered all 4 of their fumbles, which I thought the only one that I thought we should have recovered was the one where Josh Allen dove over, and you saw the ball comes over, and you see Dana's right there. I don't know why he wasn't able to get it, but four, you know, a couple near interceptions, and then 4 fumbles they recovered. What did you make of the secondary? I know Brian Cook is one of the guys who gets a lot of shit online every week. Nick Bolton as well. And I saw those two today kind of get picked on online. What did you make of the play, the secondary? Anything stand out to you guys in today's game?
I was watching. So they had Jalen Watson in the slot, covering the slot a couple of times, which was different, which I kind of liked. I mean, I think they did a decent job. I mean, Mac Hollis, I mean, he's a big boy, long, man. He's, you know, a joker. He makes plays on McDuffie. But it's the NFL. It's going to happen, man. I mean, guys are going to get beat. I mean, shoot. Made a great play, great catch. Matter of fact, McDuffie tipped the ball almost into his hand.
They shouldn't have called that anyway. Hollins was running with his arm out, stiff-arming him at last 5 yards on that route. But
Well,
if a receiver is initiating contact, I don't think a quarterback should get a penalty for matching his contact. That's all. But it was still a great catch. I mean, a great throw, too. Good on both ends.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as secondary-wise, man, I'll do a much deeper dive into it to look at them even more. You know, same thing. If you had to go to, I mean, Khalil Shakur, 6 catches for 46 yards. We knew that. You know, they didn't really use Dalton Kincaid. They made a good play on one of those. I thought they utilized him a little bit more than what they did, and he didn't. Amari Cooper showed up for 4 catches, 33 yards. But other than that, man, the main guy, same thing. Curtis Samuels missed that one. It would have been wide open if he had caught it, but I think we did a decent job, man. Shoot. I mean, good football team.
I think it was just timely stops for us. I don't think overall it was a great game to look back and say our defense just absolutely killed it, but they stepped up in big moments. I mean, 5 of 14 from third down. I don't know the Bills' third down percentages this year, but I guarantee you it's not that percentage. They got 4 fourth downs in that game, but they didn't get 2, and one of those fourth down stops changed the entire game. That was it. It might not be. That was a turnover, but that turnover, even though it's called turnover on downs, I think it should, you know, I mean, it's a little, you know, it should count. That was the biggest turnover of the game. That changed everything. And that was it. I mean, I think our pressure happened at
great times. I think Spags called a good game. I think he called good, nice blitzes at the perfect time. We got pressure on Allen when it mattered. And Allen still threw that nice ball. Dude, Kincaid almost caught it, but ironic because they lost. You know, they lost on a tight end dropping a ball when, you know, they're only in that game because Andrews dropped a ball. So, you know, pretty crazy how it comes all back around.
It's pretty ironic, huh?
Yeah.
Also, too, you know, we talked about how Kincaid hasn't been all that they've talked him, you know, pre-draft and next Kelsey. Kincaid came up very short in that game today. I know he dropped the pass, but, like, again, where was he all game? You know, we talked about tight ends dominate us every week of the season for at least 25 yards. First tight end since week four, Will Dissly, who didn't get over 25 yards against us. So, yeah, we held it down today as far as stopping the tight end.
Yeah, man, I think we had just a solid game plan. And it's just, you know, you got to go with the flow. Whatever happens, you know, kind of happens. The guys just got to try to play your best all the way through it. Because there's just so much to look at, so much to try to challenge. The one that they used, Josh Allen with Cook scored, and he flips it out to Cook. I was like, okay, man, like, dang, I didn't, you know, I wouldn't expect the flip. And then coming up, who was that? Was that Jamari? Who was that to hit him? And he got through him, and then Bolton tried to come in and clean him up. And he pulled out and got over top. But I was just saying that was just kind of an element that I didn't expect for them to run. I was like, dang. I was like, that's actually a good play. Because you're thinking at that time, Josh is taking it all the way. He's not going to pitch it out to Cook on that.
He played it well. So that's why. Trust me, Josh doesn't want to give that ball up.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
So, you know, the fact that he did just meant how well we played it. We were on it.
Mm-hmm. It was Reed then Bolton.
Okay, so when you look at like a quarterback option like that, okay, somebody always has the quarterback. Somebody has the pitch, and it's just one of those things. Like if you haven't really worked on it and seen it, it's hard and difficult to contend with. But they did a good job. They did a good job. Reed came and stuff, and they didn't stop him. If they stopped him, that would have been huge too. But you know, I think it's what makes, man, teams just great. There's just a lot of things out there, man, that you just got to keep, just stay focused on. Do what you can do, try to make plays, and the guys just did that. They did a good job of it.
Yeah, yeah. And no bad plays or real big mistakes from the Bills overall. I mean, they played a pretty good game. I think that sometimes they played it pretty safe, and other times you saw a little glimpse of old Allen. Yeah. They're a tough team to figure out, though. I mean, who knows what they do? I mean, the coaching change, I don't know what their answer is. They must just be out of answers. I mean, McDermott's kind of like a rich man's Marvin Lewis with a franchise quarterback instead of Dalton. I just, you know, they get to a certain point, they lose every year. It's, you know.
Well, I think they kind of figured they was going to get answers. I really kind of scratched my head when they didn't, when Diggs and Davis both left. And I was just like, oh, shoot. Like, what are they going to do? Who are they going to get? And it seemed like they was kind of scrounging around. You know, they got Curtis Samuels up there. You know, Hollis was. And he was like, in the draft, who are they going to get as a receiver? Because, you know, the guy they was going to get had to be that guy. And, you know, Keon Coleman just hadn't been that guy for him. So, it's tough. So yeah, it made it more difficult for him.
With Keon Coleman, I remember when we did our draft shows where we talked about Keon Coleman, Tajic pointed out during the game, he was like, that was his big knock was separation. And that one play where he threw it and McDuffie was just all in his pocket.
Yeah.
Like, dude, there's no separation there.
He couldn't get separation all season. That was a big problem for him, even this year. So, you know, those evaluations, I know sometimes they're BS, but other times they're very on the money.
Well, they always get caught in the whole, oh, man, look at this great play he made. And it don't mean anything in the NFL. Shoot, can't be consistent. That was one of the things is he wasn't necessarily consistent as a player or as a deep ball catch. Now, he made some spectacular catches. He did some very athletic things. But will that translate to the NFL? And is it going to be something that's consistent? And so I think that was a lot of the problem.
I thought that fade route at the end of the game was a terrible call. Or bat with back shoulder fade, what they do?
Back, like yeah.
Terrible. I mean,
yeah.
Your rookie?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was just like, he's a go-to?
I guess you go to Cooper for, man. You got Cooper. You sent some trade of value to the team to get him. You don't go to your rookie. I don't know.
But here's the thing, though, Chase. If they throwing that in practice and he's making those plays, maybe that's why you trust a guy like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he might not be a gamer. He didn't show up in the game.
Yeah. And
so, no, man, it's just – it is what it is. Look, man, this win but to me, I want people to really understand and enjoy and respect what the Chiefs have been able to accomplish so far, thus far. And I hate that there's a lot of disdain for them, hate for Patrick Mahomes. I heard somebody else say that they can't stand Patrick Mahomes. Like, why? The guy does everything right. Why would you be upset with Patrick Mahomes? You don't hear any controversy about him at all. You don't hear him cussing people out. Like, your biggest, you know, hate on Patrick Mahomes is he's getting calls that he can't control. He's not even controlling that. So if you want to say the refs and all of that, don't be mad at Pat. Man's just playing ball. But enjoy the time, man, that the Chiefs are actually doing it. I see Noah John is sitting there talking about that there was people there. And I guess, Noah John, you in Bali still? I do not feel bad. The fans are so nasty. Even today at the bar in Bali, fans were so aggressive. They had OJ 32 jerseys. I bought them beers at the end, even though they nasty. Chiefs Kingdom always classy. And look, it represents being classy out there, man. Really. I did this whole thing all yesterday when I was in Cincinnati. And I'll go in places and I see everybody looking at my hat. You know, I had a couple of conversations with people and, oh, man, I can't, you know, I hope y'all lose tomorrow and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah. And I would never do that. Sorry. I wouldn't look for somebody's demise. You know, hey, this is a ball game. This is what this is. Okay? It's a ball game. So get over yourselves.
I do think it's funny that they were being aggressive and they were all wearing OJ jerseys. That's kind of funny.
Noah John, I got a niece that's in Bali actually right now. She's going to be there for a while. So might get some information from you, my brother.
Yeah, you got to link them up.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the rig thing, because I do have some opinions on that too, and I'm so tired of it. It's funny. It gets me riled up, but I think at this point, what makes me laugh harder at the losers who call it rigged is the fact that these same losers are starting to actually think that Chiefs fans would rather us like lose out in calls in order to prove that it's not rigged for us. Like, let me tell you something. I don't think it's rigged. And I think there are a lot of bad calls in every game I watch, at least 2 to 3. I watch them on fantasy football nut, and I watch all games, shitty ones too, if I have a fantasy player in it, right? I'll take any frigging call that we get. I'll clock out early and call sick day tomorrow. I don't care. My ass is enjoying it, having a grand old time enjoying the wins. So I see people on social media saying things like, oh, Chiefs fans feeling bad and embarrassed after getting that call with the Homer Simpson meme. I'm not going back into a bush after we get that call. I'm glad we get that. You think I'd rather us lose the ball right there instead of getting that call? I'm not hiding in a bush. I'm jumping on the floor, dude.
Right.
You actually think we're embarrassed?
Yeah. Good call. Shoot. Let's go. Right.
It just happens.
It happens.
Officiating makes good or bad calls. That's like being a fan of a basketball team and like feeling ashamed and embarrassed when your player's free throws because he foul baited somebody and got a bad call. I don't give a shit. He's 2 points, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. I think it's a difference between basketball and football. You don't really even know basketball was, you know, a ref did rig it at one point, but you don't see that a lot because I think the game's so fast. It's boom, 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 free throws on to the next possession. It's like, so NFL is like, stop. Let's talk about this. Yeah. Let's think about it. Penalty. It's like, there's a lot of time to analyze every play as they happen. So I think there's just overanalyzing. Oh, wait, who got that call? How much are they up by? How many times did they win?
And there's all this analyzing and now analytics behind why it could be rigged, because on third and fourth downs in situations that happen once in a blue moon, it's rigged. It's so stupid. Back calls happen all the time. It happened against us earlier in that game when they called us for a, when they called us for a false start when their player jumped on the off the line. Oliver did.
Yes, right.
And everyone I was texting with, Bills fans, other teams fans, they literally go, oh, blatantly bad call. I love it. I bet you do because you want us to lose. But it's okay when we get bad calls. And I'm not going to make that. If we lost that game, I wouldn't be sitting here saying it's an excuse, dude. I don't give a shit. Play better. Overcome right. it. Next right. play. A lot of game left. Oh, it's one bad call. You just got to play better and rise above it. I don't care about that stuff. I just think it's nuts how it's evolving this whole thing. And you know what's going to happen eventually? They keep doing this. You're going to make a villain out of us to the point where there's a pendulum swing the other way. And people are going to be like, you know what? F everybody else. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. How about that? Assholes like flicking off the entire room. Guess who? Coming out. Imagine going to your friend's like Super Bowl party. You show up in a Chiefs jersey. You know everyone's going to hate you that night. You're going to love it. It's great. That's, everyone loves being the villain now.
Yeah. My cousin is from up there in on the Cape, Cape Cod. And I remember when we were playing Tampa, of course, he's a Tom Brady fan. So he came in, all he kept spouting, Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that, right? And I was like, man, everybody won't hear nothing about that. Anybody won't hear it at all. And he had like a sour look on the face when it, you know, kind of started. And very end, you know, he wins. Of course, you know, gets him bragging rights and stuff like that. But nobody could stand any of it. And I'm sitting there thinking like, what are you going to do? Tom won. You can't be mad at it.
Yeah.
You got to accept it and move on. Okay, well, shoot. You know, that's the way it works. But
the last two times the Chiefs have lost, or no, last two out of three times, we've lost in the playoffs or Super Bowl, it was Tampa, which was considered one of the worst ref Super Bowl games of all time. We were called for, I think, a record first half, a number of penalties.
Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, you know what happened? We came back and won. A few times, maybe again, 2 weeks from now. I mean, like, you don't just sit back. We're going to sit on that and go back to that. And the other time was when he was with the Pats, with the phantom roughing the passer call. He didn't touch it. He whiffed on his helmet. Whatever. And we didn't get a shot to get an OT possession in that game. They changed rules since then when we did it to somebody.
Right.
So it happens, man. People get screwed all the time.
Yeah. I don't even care. I don't even worry about it anymore. To me, it don't even bother me no more. Like I said, I fine. You could live in that bubble if you want to. Believe it. It's rigged and all those. Go ahead.
Stop watching then. How about that? Stop watching.
Yeah.
If you really think it's rigged, if you genuinely think it's rigged, not just trying to be an asshole online, trying to ruin people's good times, why do you watch the game then? I wouldn't watch something that I genuinely thought was rigged anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's like it's just crazy. It's because like when did like the conspiracy theory things start to become such a big deal? Where like for a long time, the people who were you know talking about spewing conspiracy theory type crap, like the Alex Joneses of the world, the InfoWars type stuff, that's for like a really cringy like fringe channel that only a few people climb out of their gutters to go watch, right? To go listen to that conspiracy stuff. Since when did that become this conspiracy nonsense become a mainstream thing? It's just to rationalize the Chiefs being good every year just because it makes people feel
social
better
media. About the team.
It's crazy, man.
You can find millions of like-minded people who believe aliens are real or Russia's listening on my phone call currently right now or anything. You can find millions of people and enough people hate the Chiefs to just jump on it because it's really easy to and you don't have to prove it. That's the beauty of this.
You don't have to do any of this.
It doesn't matter. I asked my brother the other day, give me film. You're so convinced of it. I was like, give me three plays where this is like evident, where it's so obvious it's happening, right? You can't find anything. Like but it's so obvious and everyone knows it. The entire world knows it. So show me something then. If it's so obvious, it's not like we won once. We're going on our how many? I mean, like I'm losing fingers here. Like, so it show me proof.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. because it does take somebody to like, yeah, that's why they're winning. Yeah, that's the reason. That's the reason right there. Okay, really? All right then. Well,
it's just fun to get mad at something.
Absolutely.
Well, even at the end of the game, when Josh Allen incompletes the pass to Kincaid, remember Nance is like, oh, there's a flag on the play. I'm being told there's a flag on the play, and there's no flag. He goes, oh, there's no flag. Tayshia and I got a text from our brother saying, ooh, shady. Well, Nance said there's a flag. Obviously, he got the script wrong there. It's like, oh, dude.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean,
he was joking, though, right?
I don't know anymore. I don't know. He's become one of these crazy. I wouldn't say he's an Alex. I keep calling him Alex Jones for it. I know it pisses him off. But like, perpetuating this nonsense. It's like, dude, are you serious? And then when we call him out for that, he's like, nah, but you live in your own Kansas City Chiefs bubble of people who all believe the same stuff. So I'm in a bubble. You're the conspiracy theorist. I'm in a bubble.
It's not a bubble. It's a circle, and it's called the winner's circle.
Yeah. Come all the crazies, all the crazies. Become a Swiftie, not a crazy. How about that?
Yeah.
Let me make it a motto. Become a Swiftie, not a crazy. All right?
Yeah. Time to love and win.
Yeah.
It's fun.
But I'll tell you what, the Raiders fans, and they root harder outwardly for the Buffalo Bills than we've heard them talk about the Raiders in the last 2 years, which is just funny.
But they come back around because now that all that Patriots hate that you talked about earlier, it's been like transferred onto the Chiefs. And it's like the statute of limitations on hating the Patriots for all the shady shenanigans over the years. It's like it's lapsed. It's all gone now. It's all cheap. We like inherited the debt from the Patriots like shenanigans. It's really weird. Now when you ask them, like, no, Brady deserved all, but he's a goat. It's like, oh, really? They actually got caught for cheating.
Yes, correct.
Imagine we got caught for cheating. There'd be a petition to give our rings back and
He has several very concerning things around him. Okay. So it's not like his wasn't without any type of a blemish. That's for daggone sure. We knew that Bill Belichick was filming teams and would send them in and didn't care anything about it. He would go in and he would turn on the AC when it was, you know, real cold, like just to keep it cold in there. So these are things that we know they were doing. And they would say it, blatantly say it, wouldn't even care. So I don't even buy into that stuff. I don't even worry about it. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. So.
Yeah. And moral of the story, we're headed back to the Super Bowl for the for potential three-peat, guys. So
Enjoy it.
Don't think about his other nonsense. Don't get involved in these other spats that Tayshia gets me involved in. I don't even want to argue with these people, but he still goes back and forth with these people. It's crazy.
But that day, we won, and that's all that really matters because, I mean, it's easy to lose sight. And it's actually – I told our brother this. It's flattering. It's actually flattering. That's the way to – rationalize it to yourself so you don't get upset. All this attention and people caring more about hating us than loving their own team. We are there's a pie everyone can give to time of the day, 24 hours, right? And that pie of everybody, some larger, some smaller, is a football slice of it, right? Let's just say it's that much for most people of that pie. Mm-hmm. In that pie, there is also broken off into like fantasy, my real team, all the home team, all the right.
Yeah.
Chiefs are taking over that pie for most people's fans. It's so flattering. You care more about who I root for than you do for your own team. How sad is that for you? You're because it's easier to hate than love, sadly enough. It really is. Let people do it. It's easy to lose sight of what we're doing right now. And being a Chief fan for a long time, I'm not going to say take for granted how much we're winning, but at the same time, like, it's just addicting to be as good as we are for this long and losing. It would just feel so foreign. I don't even know how I would react to it at this point because we've been winning for so long and it's become our standard, which is friggin' crazy, man. It's the NFL. Like, you can win. You can go to the playoffs once and not go back for 40 years. And I know because we kind of, you know, not experienced it that badly, but close to that. So it's really it's just really special to have this, what's happening for us. And it's bigger than it's not as rare as a lottery, but it's getting up there to what we're experiencing right now as fans, to be a fan of one out of 32 teams and to be blessed with this team, this quarterback, to happen through that trade with the team that we just beat, with the coach we have, it all just fell into this place together to have what we have right now. So it's enjoy it.
Yeah. And well said. You know, because as somebody who's played the game is a fan now, I'm enjoying every bit of this, and I'm going to. And I'm not going to let anybody rain on my parade or get me upset. This is something that is, like you said, historical. It's never been done before. And so I'm going to take it all in. Somebody was sitting there talking about Kareem Hunt taking it all in, coming out the locker room. I think Mike Brennan said that. Kind of hits different. And I'm happy for a guy like him. I'm happy for a guy like D-Hop who has an opportunity to get a ring. Like, be happy for those guys. And look, you can try any conspiracy theory you want to get to the point, but when a team finishes off 15-2, and you've seen the things that they've just done, how they've been able to fight, how they was able to fight last year, I had to tell you, Mike, if you don't see how special that is, I can't help you. Then you're not really a football fan. You can't be a fan of football and not like something like this. I mean, really. And I'm just going to say that because, like you said, I'm looking at more of somebody else's demise as opposed to like watching some of the greatness that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, your team didn't make it. Okay. Hey, better let next year, right? If the Chiefs didn't make it, let's say they got beat today. I would say, man, I would be so upset to see it, but I would move on. I'm like, man, that was a hell of a run. We had a chance to three-peat, and if, but now we do. We are there. We are there. It didn't take the help of no refs. It didn't take no four-leaf clover or a daggone horseshoe or rabbit's foot. These are guys going out there playing their hearts out, putting their lives on the line to play some good ball. And so you're missing that. That's what I'm saying. You're missing some good football. If all you're worried about, like I think Barbershop said, you're worried about what the refs are going to call or what they're not going to call, as opposed to what's going on in the game. Something incredible like Xavier Worthy going up and catching the football, right? Kareem Hunt being able to make the yards he was able to make. Patrick Mahomes turning around and getting to the end zone. Josh Allen doing all of his hard stuff. You know, Cook doing what he did, first downs. I mean, these two teams battled it out to the very end, and this was the results of it. And the Chiefs won. They won on top. So
we're great.
Hey, yeah.
We're great. So, and greatness gets rings.
Greatness gets rings.
You're not just going to have lightning in the bottle. This ain't like lightning in a bottle. I mean, Jaden Daniels was a very nice story. He was a great rookie. But it takes much more than just like being a dazzling rookie, a team's not having enough film on you to win a championship. Much more than that. Mm-hmm. This ain't a movie. It's hard work. You need elite coaching. You need elite management. You need elite quarterback and a team around them. I mean, people should like that. That you're not going to just have like Brock Purdy's come out of nowhere with a really stacked roster just win it. That's not great. Like that's a nice story, but it's not great. You want people to have to beat the best of the best of the best to take on that title. You want the representative from this grind of a football season to be the best in the world. It's not just a saying. It's like you want it to be the best every year. You don't want it to be a team be like, I mean, yeah, they won, but like, you know, the Nick Foles story was very nice, but come on. I mean, 9 times out of 10, they don't win that. And it was it's a nice story, but that's not the best of the best of the best of the NFL. We are, and we're winning it. I think that's what people hate because it all makes sense. It's like it's an easy story to write. And just because it's easy doesn't mean the NFL's behind it.
Well, I think that's the reason part of like attaching yourself to, you know, Jaden Daniels and what he was able to, you know, the success he had this year, right? Because you can see things that may come to further on down the road. So it's like bravo to that young man for what he's been able to do. Bravo to it. But now for what we're looking at this moment, who's able to accomplish what? Okay. This is Andy going against his old team. This is the second time doing it. All right. The Chiefs right here are looking at a three-peat, historically done. It's never been done right in the history books in the NFL. And we are all here for that moment. We are here for that moment to make these things happen. So whether you are on the side of don't want to see him do it or on the side of like, man, this is something that's magical and the Chiefs are getting this thing done. Hey,
this you is all perfect to beat us.
Right. Yeah. Hey, just be present. Just be present for it, right? Just be present for it. This will probably be one of the most looked after Super Bowls because of the people that don't like it. Okay.
Oh, and the history behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I want them to lose. I want them to lose. Fine. Hey, guess what? I'm going to have me a boatload of people here at the house, about 65 to 70 people, cheering on the Chiefs and the Eagles. I'm my house divided because I play for both teams. Last time he was in the championship, part of my family was Eagles. A lot of my family was Chiefs. For me, this is a great matchup. Okay, I'm giddy because you know these squads are two of the teams I represented when I played in the NFL. The
Dunn Bowl.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we have the Kelce Bowl, we got the Dunn Bowl, and that's what this matchup is. We have cheesesteaks and we got BBQ. And I love both. I love both. So.
Yes, sir.
I remember being a kid watching the when everyone cut to Mark McGwire's at bat that game, and he was going to break the record, and it was such like a tension and like a nerve, and like I have a feeling this is like this game entirely is going to be like that at bat, just like watching every play matters and everything can just change everything else after it, because there's so much in the line. And teams just know now, especially teams that keep facing us over and over, like the Eagles in a Super Bowl, the Niners in a Super Bowl, the Bills in the AFC Championship. They're like, we have to be perfect to beat them. And it's so much pressure on them. There's a lot of pressure on us, obviously, to have the three-peat. But yeah. It's pressure on them to stop that from happening. The whole world is counting on us to beat these guys. Like,
right.
It's like if Superman was a bad guy and the whole world wanted this other guy to beat them and they needed them to save the world. Like, that's how everyone feels against us right now. Mm-hmm. And it's better for us because it's like, hey man, like we already won two in a row and other ones. So like, if we don't lose this, we'll just start another streak after this. I mean, yeah, we want it, but like, you're the ones that the whole world is backing up. No one wants us to win. We're just the villains.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic too. The mantra, the famous mantra, is Philly versus everybody. But really, this game, it's Kansas City versus everybody because everyone's going to be on the Eagles bandwagon for this game.
Yeah,
yeah,
Chiefs versus the world.
Yeah. Right,
so it goes.
Yeah, so Chiefs will be the first team to complete the first professional organization to complete the three-peat since the 2000, 2001, 2002 LA Lakers. So that's what we're dealing with here. But myself and JD will be back on tomorrow night to grade the game, the great positional grades from tonight. And then obviously Wednesday, we will begin our week one of our preview to the Super Bowl. As we begin our 2-week preview to the Super Bowl, the New Orleans Super Bowl. So we love you guys. We almost broke records as far as the amount of people we had in tonight in the show. Near 1,000 people we got up to tonight. I think we only got up to 800 at one point, but now we have 760 in the chat right now. Really love you. We love you guys. I've seen the subscriber meter go up a little bit too. So we love all the new faces. We love all the old faces. We love everybody. And also one more thing before we go, I want to give a shout out to everybody who contributed. Kansas City area youth jazz, appreciate you. Great preview, post game analysis. Love you, buddy. Jacob Donabauer, I got that in earlier. Animaze 2077, Yeet, what's up, buddy? Appreciate that, my man. Jacob Donabauer again, we got that earlier. G Pick, the super sticker, love you, brother. And our guy Omni Brown with a nice donation and contribution. Appreciate you guys. We love you guys. We love all of our old friends and our new friends in the Chief Concerns community. JD, you want to set us off here, brother?
Absolutely. First off, great win for the Chiefs tonight. Just continuing this historic run and watching greatness happen in front of us. You got to really appreciate it. Offense, defensively, the coaches and whatnot. Kansas City has been nothing but classy. have been great winners and representatives of the AFC. But I just want to give a shout out to those guys for what they've been able to achieve so far, thus far. These next couple of weeks, we're going to get ready. We're going to be out here on the show talking to you all about some of the things to get ready about. A lot of great things coming on just for us. But amazing that the people that showed up tonight, thank you so much to watch all of this. We appreciate it. I want to give out a quick shout out to my daughter, Jaysa. Happy birthday. It's a birthday weekend. Love you, sweetie. We celebrated the win and her birthday today. So it was a beautiful and amazing birthday, not just for her life, but also too with the Chiefs and what they was able to achieve today. So
she brought us good luck. She brought us good luck. She's the reason why we won today.
Absolutely. No question about it. I mean, that's following her birthday. I'm like, there's no way they're going to lose on her birthday. No way. No way. So we had an amazing time all weekend. But, you know, for all the ones that did come up and show out and come see our show today, thank you so much. Don't be a stranger. Y'all come back and come see us. All right? Y'all come back and come see us. Usually I say everybody out here, YB Negative, Greg Rose, Dude Brucey, Kurt Schroomham, Sasha, Joker, Noah. I seen Marsha, Don Peterson, DeMonte Green Bean, Sam McBride. Who else we got on here? A lot of different people I see out here. If I don't see y'all here on the chat, Jacob Downebauer, appreciate it for the contribution, like always, my man. G Pick, Kevin Mars, Nana. I think I seen Sasha on here. Some of the other people that we know, Greg Rose. Look, you know, if I don't say your name, how much we love you. We appreciate you. Come back and come see you. I got an evaluation of this film, this game, tomorrow. Okay. Just coming here to the victory for the dungeon. Or you sit up here for the dungeon, talk about our victory against these Bills. But it was a great game. I think everybody got what they wanted. We knew it was going to be a very daunting contest. And it was everything that was advertised, man. Everything that was advertised. But other than that, man, my brothers, I appreciate you so much, Marcus and Tasia. Love you guys immensely. And everybody on here, part of our Chief Concerns family, Chiefs Kingdom. Come back and come see you, man. Love you guys. Love you guys.
Love you all. Love you too, brother. And wish Jaysa happy birthday and all the love from the Dash family.
Yeah, I had a crew, a couple I wanted to show.
A picture? I have a picture. I'll share that.
Yeah. So
I was waiting for you to cue me.
Yeah. Go ahead. Show it. I had to show a picture of this couple that was in a restaurant. We was the only Chiefs fan in there. And I had met her before. I signed an autograph for her like 20 years ago. I just happened to see her. She's like, oh, my God, you signed something for me like 20 years ago. And so here they were at the restaurant at Jeff Ruby's here in Lexington, Kentucky. And so his shirt, he had this on. He pulls his shirt up and he's got the Kansas City Chiefs shirt on underneath his sweater. I'm like, my God, I appreciate it. Because everybody else, I'm sure, didn't want the Chiefs to win. But I told them I was going to put their picture up here. So I wanted them to see it and say what's up to them. Good people out here as well. So there's fans out here, man. There are a lot of fans out here. So don't let all the hate and all the disdain and people talking smack on the Chiefs, don't let those voices drown out all the greatness that's been going on these past few years, okay? There's real fans out here enjoying it. And they've been fans since I've been playing. So that same thing they said to them, said people have been coming to me and saying, oh, you a newbie. You just been jumping on the bandwagon. They're like, look, we've been here for the past 25, 30 years as Chiefs fans. Okay? So there are Chiefs fans that's been doing it for a long time, brother. All right? So everybody ain't just new guys because the Chiefs just been winning. People have been out here suffering through the losses, through the hard times, through all of it. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys and gals coming out here for that support. So thank you. So I'm going to say Kendrick Fishback, my brother, is on here. 90 Sherry is on here as well. But good to see it. Neff, I knew was on here. So I don't know. That's it, man. That's
Chiefs fan since Ben. I've been cheaping since been cheaping since been cheaping.
That's a good one. Oh, yeah. So
But all right, guys. So we'll see you guys tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for JD's Monday morning tight end grades position.
Come on, baby. Let's go. Yes, sir. Man, be excited, y'all. Be excited. Man, be excited. Let's go, Chiefs. That's how we do it. That's how we do it, man. Okay? Later to all the haters and none of that, don't worry about it. We good. Y'all golden. They like us. We love you. So appreciate it. Appreciate you, fellas. Appreciate y'all fans. Thank you so much. We'll see y'all tomorrow, rest of this week, all going up to the Super Bowl. You will have us here. You will have us here. Come join. Come see us. Yeah.
Two weeks of a Super Bowl preview again, baby.
Hey, come on in. The water's fine. The water's fine.
Yep.
All right, guys. Remember, hope everybody has a good night, and we will see you guys tomorrow night. Love y'all. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Appreciate it.
Later.
See you guys. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.